You good? So if it's first time back, we have a little different format we're running now. So we will do the message part of it now. We'll sing some more, and then I will actually give you a chance to ask questions, legitimate questions here in the second part, and that's all it is. I'll throw it out to you, and then we will sing and go home. So fair enough. I have to do a public service announcement first, and the reason I do that is not only for you, but there are people listening online, and they're questioning whether I can come back to church or whether I can't. What should I do? What are they doing? And I want them to be able to hear where we're at, what we're trying to accomplish in our safety for them. So last week we recorded it so that people could hear. And today we do have two of our seniors back, and those are the people we want to take care of. We want to take care of everybody here, but those are the people we absolutely want to be careful with right there. Patsy, that would be you. Patsy, are you with us? Patsy, are you here? Okay. We're talking about you. We're talking about you. So as... And, okay, so Patsy and Pat, in particular, when Donna's back there, she's of age, but she's tough. You can't beat her up. Everybody we want to be safe with, but those two right there, we want to treat as fragile because those are the ones. And so we've given them a space back there. And for all of us, June has made some amazing masks out there. If you prefer to wear a mask, it's not mandatory. But it is provided. They even made a Chicago Bears mask, which is awesome. So did a great job with that. Where you see that every other row is kind of sectioned off. We're trying to maintain social distancing, understanding we're in a small building, we're in a small space. There is going to be some issue there. So. We're doing everything we can, hand sanitizer, wash your hands, masks, social distancing. We're on board to help keep everybody that comes in these doors safe. It's what we want to do. Again, my biggest concern is that we do not divide over this issue. If you are scared, concerned, but you've decided to come and there's a person over here who could care less about this thing. Do not let it divide you. We're going to love each other anyway and respect every position, every thought, every concern. We want to respect every person. So this is not something to let it divide you over. So don't let that happen, please. We love every single person that walks in the door. And we're going to respect their wishes for their safety concerns to the best we can in a small building, okay? So that is my public safety announcement. The message. So the message is this. You won't see anything on the board. I'm going to reference Scripture, but it's not going to be a message, expository teaching tool. It's going to be me talking to you from the heart, sharing my heart about this week, about some social events, such as Minneapolis, other things as well. As this week unfolded, we had events. And for me, this will sound weird to you, but for me, one of the biggest events that happened over the last week or two is Ravi Zacharias passing away. As a person who studies the Bible and loves the Word of God and the ministry, I know that we lost someone on par or greater than Billy Graham. We lost someone who is truly an ambassador for the gospel worldwide, who has gone into some 50 nations, spoke to sheikhs, imams, gone into hostile nations and in environments, and is invited in and loved. They welcome him and speak, and he talks about the gospel. He shares the gospel and why Christ is the answer. He goes on college campuses, which you may know are oftentimes hostile environments, and they love him because he loves them. And so I know that we, the church, globally lost, for my money, the premier ambassador for Jesus Christ. And that to me, I feel for that. I really feel the loss of that. That was a big event in my mind. Then Minneapolis hit, and is there anybody that is unaware of Minneapolis? What's happening there? Anybody? Okay, so you all know what's happening in Minneapolis. Okay, so then that hit. And then, of all things, Terry and I have a friend who was 2 years ahead of me in high school, a solid Christian family. I mean, people that have lived for Christ their whole life. Diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and it's in a couple other major organs as well. He's 2 years older than me. It's like, man, those are good people. Those are good people. So, oh yeah, and there's a virus. And there's a virus, right? Oh yeah, forgot about that. There's a virus. So a lot going on, a lot going on. And so I want to talk to us about that from just a pastoral standpoint. I do have scripture, and I think that's where we need to go. We need to go to God. We need to draw close to the Lord. We need to see what He says about this. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, from the heart. I will mention scripture references and even read some, but they won't be up there. You'll just have to jot down the reference or listen to it later if we record it. And I'm going to, the feel is it's going to lean more toward our response to the injustice conversation of Minneapolis, of what's happening there. Hatred, murder, that whole issue. Hatred, murder, injustice, justice, etc. And the reason, what is absolutely heartbreaking for me, absolutely heartbreaking for me, I don't have a lot of expectation for culture. I don't have much expectation for unsaved society. They do what they do. Their answer to an injustice of a brother being murdered, their answer is to loot and burn a target. I mean, I don't have any expectations here for unsaved culture. I do, however, look to the church, look to Christians, look to Christian leaders to see where are you coming from that will be helpful to the church. Right here, what do I have to say that could be helpful to us? And that's all this is about. I want to help us wrap our mind around it from God's perspective. And I'll be honest with you, I am absolutely sometimes ashamed of what I see Christian leaders posting and saying online. So I'm going to talk to us a little bit about that, and it will feel like basically that's what this talk is about. I want to help us. I want to help us. So let me help us. Let me share this with you. If by chance, number one, you happen to be in a conversation with someone who doesn't believe in God, and they're talking about Minneapolis. If they're an evolutionist, you do understand you have the right to say to them, you don't have any part in this conversation. You do understand, if you have a conversation with an evolutionist, you have every right to say, look, buddy, you believe in evolution. Organisms are doing what organisms are doing. The law of the jungle, the survival of the fittest. We eat and devour the weak, and we will move on and evolve into something greater. You really have no part in this conversation. There is no moral law to an organism, to an evolutionist. They abort babies. They euthanize our seniors. Life has little meaning to them because we are organisms. So this is just part of the process. To an evolutionist, that has to be their position. And you would have every right to say that to them. Why do you care if you're an evolutionist? And then you would say to them, you care because you're created in the image of God, and you have something inside of you saying, morally, this is wrong. You were created in the image of the Creator. And that's how you would come back to them. That's how you would begin a conversation with an evolutionist. They have no say-so in this conversation. So, number one. Number two, social media. Social media. I'm watching pastors, teachers, leaders, and let me clarify this to you. I don't do Facebook. I do a little Instagram, but not enough to sneeze at. My wife is our Facebooker, and she tells me, hey, look what pastor at such and such post, you know. But I don't know anything of what you're posting. If you're a Facebooker, she has not told me anything. Oh, our church people are, that has not happened. I do not have any idea what anybody in this room has posted on Facebook. So please know I'm not speaking to that. I am speaking to in general, okay? I'm speaking to in general, Facebook. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10, I believe it's 13, all things are lawful, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful, speaking to the Mosaic Law. We don't have the restrictions of the Mosaic Law anymore. That's what he's saying. All things are now lawful to do, according to the Mosaic Law, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. And what I'm seeing on social media by Christians, leaders that should be helping us build, are not helpful and are not building up. As a matter of fact, every quip and quote, even a little scriptural quip and quote, is pouring another cup of gas on the inferno we call Minneapolis. I stand with my brothers, Christ's name, justice. This is ungodly. This is quote scripture verse, injustice. It is not helpful. It is not building up. It is not the solution. I'm going to beg you. Be very careful what you post. Do we need more awareness? Is your voice, your comment going to help? Going to build up? Is it going to make people aware? We're aware. Is it going to cure? Is it going to help heal? No. If you want to heal, leave your profession and go into politics. If you want to be a part of the solution, leave your profession and become a law officer and become a sheriff, become a police officer, become a mayor, like my friend down in Elkhart, Rod Robertson. Rod had a man of color, a mayor of color, had a rally And he told them, it's wrong. That was murder. That was wrong. But the looting and everything else that's going on is equally as wrong. We can't have that in here. That is not the solution. Go into politics. Go into law enforcement. And you have the cleanest, squeakiest administration you can have. But posting, you're throwing gas on a fire. You are not acting as Jesus would act. That is not the Christian response to this inferno. Social media has become an idol in our country. Sure, there are people who use it carefully, reasonably, but by and large, it's become an idol. It's become the solution to all things. It's the answer to all things. It's the trendiest of all things. It is not the answer to our society's problems and woes. Tell me this is not true. Don't the youth of our nation, the young people, you continually read how the youth are looking for true relationships with people. What are you looking for? What is the most meaningful thing in your life? And it's like, I'm looking for real friendships, relationships. We've been talking about that here for years. They are craving true relational friendships. Oh, you have 100 followers on Facebook. No, those aren't true friendships. That's not real friendships. Those are their friendships. And we know the difference. We're looking for true relationships. If social media can't even provide us with true relational friendships, why would we think it's the answer to all our problems? And the first thing I do is comment, comment, post. You can't even have a meaningful discussion. Post, reply. Post, comment, reply, comment, reply, reply, reply. Done. You can't accomplish anything with this on social media. Really. It's far and few between. That is not the answer. And you be very careful that you're not throwing gas on this inferno with your Christian quote quip scripture. Be a part of the solution. Your comment isn't that needed. And neither is mine. Be very careful. So, what does Scripture say at all about this injustice, murder, prejudice? And they're saying we're not sure that prejudice was involved in this. It was just murder. Excessive use of force by a police officer. I'll help you right here if you haven't been reading the news. There is no one coming to the defense of that police officer, or maybe a handful of fans. No one. Everybody is saying that was murder. My bet, if I'm betting the farm, he will face murder charges and probably the rest of his life in prison, and justice will be served through the legal system. That's justice. That's our form of justice. And beyond that, it's God. Destroying properties, targets, burning down whatever you can, stealing whatever, that's not justice. That's lawless, rioting hatred. Prejudice runs always. Prejudice runs through every color and every nation and every family. It's not just a black and white issue. No, not at all. It's black, white, white, black, Mexican, black, black. It's anything. It's everything. It's called hatred. It's called jealousy. It's called sin. It's called prejudice. And it's alive. Prejudice is alive in America. As long as there are humans, prejudice is alive. It will happen. It will happen. But violence and hatred and stealing, with smiles on their faces, they haul televisions out of a looted Target. That is anything but just. And you should be the first to stand out and say, that is as wrong as that murder. That is not justice. That is lawless hatred. You should say, because Christian people are saying, well, if you're going to do that, they're going to do that. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But we don't live under that. We don't live that way. Not if you're going to follow Jesus. It's no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth if you follow Him. That can never be. You don't want to live under the Mosaic Law, do you? Do you want to live under the Mosaic Law? An eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. If they're going to kill our people, we're going to destroy their town. You can't live that way. And you can't support that. You can't promote that. You can't go, yeah, I stand with them. You can't do that. We don't live by an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And don't you support it. Don't you throw gas on that fire. I'll read to you the words of your Savior. You do what you want to do with them. You've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, you go 2. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard it said, you shall love your enemy, love your neighbor, and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love your enemy. If they slap you on the cheek, it's no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If they slap you on the cheek, turn it. Give them the other one. You and I do not live by an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Ever. It's done. Those are the words of your Savior. If they want your coat, give them your tunic too. Yeah, look how they treated our people, so we're going to burn them to the ground. You never live that way, ever, ever. Never promote that. Never stand before your Savior someday. Say, yeah, I put it online. That is not Jesus. You are not walking with Jesus if you do that. I'm just going to tell you straight up. That is not a solution. It is not helpful, and it is not Jesus. In any way, shape, or form. Old Testament, biblical injustice, hatred, and murder began as far back as Genesis when Abel killed his brother, or Cain killed his brother Abel in the field. Because his offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't. And Cain came up on his innocent, God-worshipping brother in the field and murdered him for jealousy. It wasn't black and white. It wasn't national. It wasn't European versus American, or Tutsi tribe versus the Hutu tribe in Africa. It wasn't any of that. It was brother killing brother in the same family. Moses, the leader, one of the top leaders of Egypt, went out into the pits and killed an Egyptian taskmaster for beating a Jewish slave. Injustice, murder, hatred. It wasn't black and it wasn't white. It wasn't brown, it wasn't yellow. It wasn't racially motivated. It wasn't nationally motivated. It was murder and unjust. Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery in the same family. In the same family. It was hatred. It was murder, they thought. It was slavery. But it wasn't black and white. Move ahead a little bit. I'll shock you with this one. Move ahead in the Bible to the man after God's own heart, King David. Slept with the lady down the street. You talk law enforcement. You talk about government. King David, the man after God's own heart, sleeps with the lady down the street and then has her husband sent to the front lines of battle and has the troops pull back. So he's a sitting duck and murdered at the front lines. A man after God's own heart, the leader of a nation, murder, adultery, injustice. Jew and Jew. Move forward. Saul kills Stephen. Stands, holds the coats while they stone Stephen. Jew and Jew. Injustice, he had the legal, governmental means to do it. Injustice. Well, let's not forget the cross. Let's not forget the injustice that happened to Jesus, the plot to arrest him, arresting him with clubs. He had to say, "You've come out a thief and a robber. I've been speaking and teaching in public. What is this?" They arrested him. They beat him in the jail cell, in the precinct, if you want to use that language. Beat him within an inch of his life. The trial was totally rigged. The Roman government tried to release him. It was totally unjust. And he was murdered on that cross. And his injustice became my justification. The greatest injustice done in mankind's history, God turned into my justification and yours. If you're a believer, you have to thank God for the greatest injustice ever done by government, law enforcement, ever done. You have to thank him with everything you have, because his injustice, the righteous for the unrighteous, that injustice is mine and yours if you're a believer. And you have to see God as bigger than it all. You sit there saved for the unjust murder of Jesus. And he said, no. I laid my life down. And I could call legions of my army to rescue me. But I won't, because I lay my life down. And you and I sit here eternally saved because of the greatest injustice ever done on this planet. The most horrendous, 10 times more horrendous than ever happened to George Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery, countless others. You and I sit here eternally secure because of injustice. Be very careful how you respond to this injustice that has happened. You and I have something way more, way bigger. Way bigger. We have a God who is eternally in charge and in control of all things. In a sense, this is a value of life issue, a value of life. This might shock you. How's your valuing of life? Evolutionist doesn't value life. We're organisms. There's no value to life. We're just recreating. But you and I, we have to value the soul, value the person. Every person in this room, Jesus died for. Every single person out there, Jesus died for. He died for George Floyd. I hope with all my heart and soul, George Floyd knew the Lord. Jesus also died for the police officer. And I hope with all my heart and soul that police officer, if he doesn't know the Lord, he will. Because he's got a long, ugly existence ahead of him. See, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, is what I just read to you. I wept this week for the death of Ravi Zacharias. And I've never wept. The only other thing I can think of that I've ever wept for is my dog. When my dog died. I buried aunts and uncles, and I buried people, right? And I wept. I wept when we lost Ravi. George Floyd's life is as valuable as Ravi's life to Jesus Christ. And that police officer's life is as valuable as Ravi's life. They're as valuable as her life to me. And she's precious in my sight. Jesus died for every one of us. And the rain will continue to fall on the just and the unjust alike. And the question is, do I value life? Do I value life? How can I comment, post on this injustice? Well, there are millions of babies aborted. Do I value life? That's what this question's about. Do I value life? No, they probably don't. They don't value life and property. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Wouldn't you call me judgmental? And don't they call me judgmental? When I take biblical principles and values and I try and impose that on an unsaved culture, God's gonna burn you in hell. Here's what the Bible says. And we try and impose that on an unsaved culture. They rightfully call us judgmental because we have no right to do that. We're to judge each other in the church. Now we have a game plan. In the church, you are a believer, you've been saved, now we have. But I can't throw that on them. They can't understand the Bible. They certainly can't follow it. The only hope we ever have is the Holy Spirit, is salvation. Are we so foolish in the church to think they understand justice as we do? Are we so foolish in the church we just post, injustice, injustice, and we're going to now lay the template of justice that we know on an unsaved culture? Are we going to now impose what we know? God told Israel all through the Bible, seek justice. Seek justice. I'm looking for justice and I don't find any. Habakkuk. God, how long do I got to look at this injustice? He says, not very much longer. Babylon's coming. Zephaniah, I spoke a couple weeks ago. The government officials are unjust. The religious people are unjust. How long? But God gets up and he's just every morning. God imposes his justice every morning. Am I going to now impose my understanding of justice, what is truly just in God's sight, the cross, grace, righteousness? Am I now going to impose that on them and expect that of them to go, oh, injustice, change, change, we've got to change. It's never going to change. We are an unjust people. We are a sinful people. Always have, from Genesis chapter 3 on. Always, always, always. Sin presents itself in a thousand ways, and prejudice and injustice and murder and hatred are but a couple. Don't expect too much of that. Be very careful. Be very careful how you respond. How you respond to this event, this injustice. Let me give you some marching orders. As a Christian, saved by the greatest injustice that God turned into your justification. Let me give you some marching orders. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. It is better for you to unjustly suffer, if that is God's will, than for you to retort back without gentleness and respect. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope and the sense and the justice that lies within you with gentleness and respect. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. This is not strange. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And that's what I want for us. I want us to rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed, not crawl back in shame for a bunch of mindless, hurtful posts online, like they're going to accomplish anything. They are not. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Let none of you, and I wish, I don't know what George Floyd did to be detained. I have no idea. Maybe you do. I've heard it had something to do with counterfeit money or forgery or something like that. I wish he wouldn't have done that. He'd probably still be alive today. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteousness is, if the righteous are scarcely saved, I mean, we're barely saved, right? What will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. While doing good, promoting good, sharing good, always being ready to supply an answer for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and respect. Brothers and sisters, they're not the answer. Your Facebook post is not the answer. Here's the answer, and you have it. For I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the black and to the white, to the Asian, and to the Muslim, and to the Hindu, and to family and family. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. It's revealed, beginning with faith and ending with faith. For the righteous will live by faith. And you have the gospel. You know the gospel. If you really want to make a difference, form a friendship with someone. Show them the love of Christ. Share the gospel with them. The only hope of transforming our society is the transforming power of the gospel and of the Holy Spirit, transforming heathen idiots like I used to be into this guy you've let stand on your stage. That is the only hope we have, not your post. And you have it. You've been entrusted with it. You are so valuable in the kingdom of God. You have no idea. Share the gospel. Suffer unjustly like your Savior. Share the hope within you with gentleness and respect for all people. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And I value life. I value your soul. I value your life. How do I tell someone I barely know I love you? I love you. Because I value their life. My Savior bled and died for them. It has no difference what color they are. James said this, if a rich man comes into your congregation and you say, sit up here, and a poor man comes in and you say, yeah, back there in the corner, haven't you become an unrighteous judge? And if you just put black and white into that equation, you have what they're calling prejudice. Hey, black man, you get to sit right here, white man back there in the corner, or vice versa. They would call that prejudice of the nth degree. James talks about it. The Bible talks about it all over. Onesimus and Philemon. One black and white. What'd he say? Philemon, you receive him back not as your slave, but as your brother. As your brother. Value life. Value life. Everyone's. Everyone's life. The greatest injustice ever done to mankind was right there. And you and I are the recipients of it. Now take that message out there and suffer. Be inconvenienced. Love someone with the love of Christ and change, transform this world soul by soul by soul with the love of Christ and the gospel. Before you go to your idol on the blue screen and post. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your life. We're praying to a living God, so fully aware of everything going on in this world. I pray if there's someone in this room who doesn't know you, doesn't understand you, can't understand you or know you because they don't have the Spirit within them, I pray their heart would open to the truth of your love and justice. Lord, be with us now. Lord, teach us as we sing. May our hearts go to you and be changed to be like Christ. Use us. Use us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When we're done singing these songs, I'm going to come back up here and let you ask me questions. If you have any questions about this, about anything I've said, I'm going to let you ask. I will only ask that it's a true question. But I will open the floor to you. If you have any questions about any nuances or anything going on around us, I want to be as helpful as I can to you. I know it's a tough time. There's a lot of things going on.